Well, I kind of feel a bit bad for butting in on that. We could have continued, couldn't we? Oh, thank you, Mark. Oh, let's pray. Lord Jesus, you blow me away from everything that you do and the way you move. And we just thank you for your presence. And it's just so real in this place. It's thick in this place. It's just, we can just feel your presence. And it's amazing. Lord, we ask for more. We ask for more of your presence. Lord, as we delve into your word, Lord, may you just open our eyes to new things. Lord, just thank you that we never stop learning from you. That we can always get something new from your word and from your scriptures, Lord. Amen. 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 Great. So, good morning, church. Paul led an evening service at the start of the year, and he gave me a call on the Saturday morning and said, "Hey, George, would you mind sharing? I've sent you an email with my kind of theme and my thoughts. Have a look and see what you think." So I go home and I open up my emails, and there was an email from Paul Hedger saying, and the subject box was dispositional sins. And I thought, oh my word, what have I said yes to? And so I open up this email, and on the email's attachment that has part of the book, I don't know what the book was called, but it was a guy called A.W. Tozer. And yeah, as a surprise, yeah. and he basically said there are a few questions you can answer, and just read through the text. Just see if God speaks to you in any way. You've got 10 minutes, go for it. So I was reading through the text, and I just did not get it. I didn't understand it. I struggled with it, and I thought, how am I going to share for 10 minutes on this? And I just kept reading it and just getting frustrated with myself. So I just thought, I'm just going to take a couple of hours. And I come back to it after a couple of hours. And I think, I'm just going to call Paul and say, I'm not going to do it. And I was this close to calling Paul and saying, I can't do it. And I thought, I'm just going to read it one more time. And as I read the text one more time, it was just almost, I read it just completely different. And I understood it amazingly. And I just thought, wow, this text holds so much truth and things we don't even think about. So I didn't even know what the word disposition even means before the evening service. But a good disposition, if you say that person has a good disposition, it means they have a good kind of character, good kind of almost this infectious personality that kind of rubs off onto people in a really good way. So what A.W. Tozer was talking about, it was saying that actually our dispositional sins is almost kind of the opposite of that. And it's saying that actually we can, our attitudes and our sins can almost rub off to people in the wrong way and in a bad way. And actually what the text goes on to say is actually this is the biggest fault in Christianity, because what we do and how we live can actually turn people away from the church. And we think we're being a good witness, and actually our attitudes don't say that at all. And I was kind of thinking about what it means for us to be a good witness in our community. So here are the few things that A.W. Tozer listed: greed, short-tempered, cruel, and then being irritable. And there's a few more things. And then there's a text I just wanted to pick up. This is the bit right at the end, which I've given to Sally, if you could pop up. "Many persons who had been secretly longing to find Christ have been turned away and embittered by manifestations of ugly dispositional flaws in the lives of the very persons who are trying to win them. Unsaintly saints are the tragedy of Christianity. People of the world usually pass through the circle of disciples to reach Christ, and if they find disciples severe with sharp tongue, they can hardly be blamed if they sigh and turn away from him." And I was thinking about, we can be put off, people can be put off church by maybe thinking it's cold, it's boring, it's not very attractive. And actually, when I think about it more, the harsh reality is that actually sometimes we can be a fault for hindering the kingdom of God. And I was brought to a memory of a time years ago where I knew of someone who became a Christian. This person didn't grow up in a Christian family, and he surrounded himself with people from church. But unfortunately, what was happening was he was coming to church Sunday, learning these new things with the people that he was friends with, and actually these friends were doing completely different, living completely different lives in the week. And they would come to church and they would serve at church, and actually when they come to Monday, they continue the week living a life that Jesus doesn't call us to. And he said, you're just a bunch of hypocrites. You're saying one thing, but actually living a different life. And it put him off church, and he doesn't come to church anymore. And it's just, my heart breaks, because it's like, we need to be better at this. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm good at this, because I'm not. But actually, as a church, we need to be mindful of this. And, you know, people are watching us. People are constantly looking at the way we respond to different things, the way we react to things. When we were made for a relationship with God, he put a longing in our hearts for him. And so when we don't have that longing, when we don't know Jesus, we long for something. We long for relationships. So we look for places for it. And so when people know that you're a Christian and that you know Jesus, they look to you and they look how you respond to things, and they're quick to catch you out when you do something wrong, and they say, that isn't very Christian of you. And they're just people watching, and we need to realize that people are constantly watching us. And being a Christian is one of the most amazing things. It holds joy. It brings life. It brings grief. But you know one thing, it also brings responsibility. And we are responsible for the Christian faith that we are a part of, and that we have a responsibility to live for Jesus and live for him and to be an example for him. Amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:20. For we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. So we're going to read from Ephesians this morning. And we're going to turn to Ephesians 4:17. We're going to read from the NLT. But if your translation is different, please do kind of follow on. The words will be on the screen. And actually, we're going to read quite a long passage. And I was challenged because I thought to myself, this is too long. I need to cut some of it out. And remembered it's the Bible, so it's important. And I'm on the course. Yeah, I'm on the course at the moment. And we did a weekend on preaching and teaching. And one of the guys said, sometimes we can rush through the Bible bit, the scripture bit, to the bits that we prepared. And actually, the Bible is the most essential bit. So we need to take time on this. So this is Ephesians 4:17. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. That isn't what you learn about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and you have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbours the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for the anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing you that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behaviour. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And then we move into chapter 5. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such things have no place among God's people. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of the God will fall on him who disobey him. Don't participate in the thing these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good, right, and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of the evil darkness. Instead, expose them. It's shameful even to talk about these things that ungodly people do in secret. For their evil interventions will expose them when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if you read in your NIV Bible, there's a small little subtitle that says Christian Living. For me, as a in the NLT, it has two subtitles. And one of them is Living Children of Light, and the other one is Living in the Light. And if you were to give my preach a title this morning, it would be Living in the Light to Live as the Light. And these things go together. They're important that we don't kind of separate them, because if we want to live as the light, we can't be living at darkness at the same time. Darkness cannot produce light. And we've got to make sure that actually our lives are pleasing to Jesus. And actually through that, we see growth. I love this church and I love this village. And I want to see this church grow. I want to see people coming to know Jesus from the village. And I know a lot of you would share that excitement and those thoughts as well. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he starts off in this chapter anyway, saying this, "For the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity." And we're never going to be perfect. But I believe Paul and Jesus would say to us today is that we have to guard our hearts and we have to guard our minds. And as human beings, we are consumers. We consume things. We watch things and we listen to things. And what we watch and what we listen to actually affects who we are and affects our minds and affects our human beings. So for us, for example, if you watch crude TV, your mind is going to be full of crude thoughts. If you are in a battle of pornography, then your mind is just going to be full of sex. And the music we listen to, there's sometimes I listen to music on the radio and I get home and I sing it out loud and think, oh my goodness, what am I singing? It's just, these things have a bigger influence on us than you even realise and can affect our minds and our hearts. And it's also what we surround ourselves, we can consume those things and we can indulge those things. What if we were to indulge in Jesus? If we indulge in Jesus and everything that he has for us, instead of watching crude TV, watching a preach, instead of listening to inappropriate music, listening to whatever Christian music you like listening to. And it's not just about what the things that we consume and the things that we indulge in, it's the things around us as well that affect us, and it's the people around us that affect us. I remember years ago being at a Liverpool game with my dad, this was years ago, and it was Liverpool versus Newcastle, and there's a footballer called Joe Barton. And if you know Joe Barton, he is this rough footballer that has not got a good reputation. And he is someone that, unfortunately, just no one likes him in a harsh way. It's just how the world sees him, because he just gets himself into lots of trouble. And so I remember being at this Liverpool game with Dad, and he was playing for Newcastle at this point. And every time he got the ball, 45,000 Liverpool supporters would boo this man. And because everyone else was doing it, I started to do it, and I started to boo this man. And I started, because everyone else was doing it, I started to do it. And Dad said, nudged me, said, no, we don't do that. And you know what? It made me realise how easily influenced we are by what people do. And we go in their direction. I mean, I was young, but if we now, even still, we go into the direction of what people, the way that people are living. And I've told this time, I've said this a few times, but years ago when I worked at Anglesey Abbey, I built amazing friendships. And they were really good people, but I got to a point where I was starting to hang around with them more than with the youth group, and people started to notice a difference in me. People were starting in a bad way, and they were good people, but I had the balance wrong. And, you know, we need to be in the world, but not of the world. And Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, I love my two jobs I'm in at the moment. I love working for Youth Christ, and I have to say, I love working for High Street. but I do mean that. But some people say to me, George, do you ever miss working for TK Maxx or Anglesey Abbey? And you know what my honest answer is? I don't miss the role, but I miss the people. And one of the things I found most challenging in is almost not being surrounded by non-Christians in a workplace. And it sounds weird, but I've really missed it. Really missed it. And I sound like I'm contradicting myself, but it's about getting the right balance. I think that's what I'm trying to say. We can go, we can put ourselves in the bubble, or we can put ourselves in the other spectrum and live in the world and actually be a part of the world, and Jesus doesn't call us to live a life like that. It's our job. God gives us the light. It's our job not to keep it to ourselves. And I don't want to bring... my heart in this is really not to condemn, but it's to challenge. And I hope you know that. So we need to make sure we're consuming, what we're indulging in, are the right things. We need to guard our hearts and we need to guard our minds. Secondly, we need to ask, what aroma are we leaving? I hate bad smells. And I think as Christians, we can leave bad smells with people that don't necessarily know him. And I guess this comes back to the dispositional sins. When we look at the passage in Ephesians, we turn to 4:25. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbours the truth. For we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. When I left Stonebridge College, I went to West Suffolk College and spent 2 years there. And it was a really weird 2 years of my life. I guess it's like every 16, 17-year-old, you're just going to find out what you want to do with your life. But one day for my course, I was in a class of about 23 people. And one day I did something that was really embarrassing. And I shared this in the evening service that I spoke on when Paul was leading. And I was speaking to someone in my course, and I spoke really badly and harshly of someone else in the course. Like, offensive. I wouldn't even want to say it in front of you because it's that bad. And I don't know what came over me. And this person I told went and told the other person. And she was fuming. She was so angry. And I came home, I was really upset with myself. And I thought, God, why did I say that? And what was my thinking towards that? And I went the next day and I just needed to go apologise. And I went to her and I said, I'm really sorry, will you forgive me? And she kind of went, yes, that's fine, and then kind of walked off. And I think she was kind of taken back that I apologised. But when I walked off, there were two questions in my mind. What reputations did I leave of myself? But more importantly, what reputation have I left of God? And my prayer is that the aroma, sounds really, really weird, the aroma I left was a sweet aroma. And it wasn't a bad aroma. It wasn't a bad smell, but it was a good smell. And she knew I was a Christian. A lot of people knew I was a Christian. And it's the hard thing of when people are watching, you need to live a life, isn't it, that pleases Jesus. So we need to make sure the aromas we're leaving behind are good aromas to the people that do not know Jesus. And then we need to live in the Spirit, not quench in the Spirit. In 4:30, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. In the NIV, it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. And quenching is basically suffocating. And it's so easy to, the way we live, we can either quench the Spirit or we can bring life to the Spirit. And it comes, I guess it comes back to our behaviors, the things we watch, the things that are our attitudes. And I was at Youth for Christ staff conference at the start of this year, and there was a guy called Simon Ponsby, and he's a vicar of a church in Oxford, and he did a morning on the Holy Spirit. And he told this amazing story, or analogy as it were. He was on holiday, and he was with his, he's with his wife, and I think he has two boys. And he woke up and he felt God say to him, "Simon, I'm going to speak to you this morning." And he was excited, so he was away, and so he read his Bible, he was reading his books, and he got to about 4 or 5pm, and then he just didn't feel like God had spoke to him anyway. And suddenly his wife shouts, "Simon, Simon!" And he comes rushing down, and he's like, "What?" She says, "There's a fish stuck in the pond, but there's a fish stuck in the shallow end of the pond. There's like this pond outside, and there's a deep end, the shallow end, and there's a fish stuck in the shallow end of the pond, and it's going to die." And so he goes out to look at it. He gets his two sons, and he looks and sees the situation. He gets one son to get a shovel, and another son to get a watering can. He says, "Right, what we're going to do is we're going to lift this fish out of the pond, and we're going to move it on the shovel and put it into the deeper end of the pond. But while we do that, we must sprinkle water on it." So the one with the watering can did that. So they got the fish and they moved it along the pond while one person behind was putting water on this fish. And then he put the fish in the deep end of the pond, and the fish swam off. And as he walked away, he thought, "That was really strange." And then he felt God say to him, "That's what I wanted to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit." And sometimes we can be stuck in the shallow end of the pond, and it almost, we need to be in the deeper end of the pond. And by our attitudes and by the things that we do, we can either push ourselves into the shallow end of the pond, or we can push ourselves into the deeper end of the pond. And God calls us to be, he calls us to be full of the Holy Spirit. And as we are full of the Holy Spirit, we give off a light that is just amazing to the people around us. And then we need to live as the light. you know, people say to me, or I've heard people say anyway, "I'm not an evangelist. It's not a gifting that God's put on my heart." And I do believe that actually God does put gifts of evangelism on people's hearts. But actually, if we are living in the light, living in the light, and living a life pleasing to Jesus, you are being a better witness than an evangelist on the pulpit or on the stage. And we must realise that actually we run incredible things for this community. And I love the variety of things we run from this church for the village. But actually, if as a church we're not living in the light, then actually all those things are really just hard work. I was blown away a few Sundays ago when Mary Wells got up and talked about her testimony at uni. And I went to message her in the week and thought, I'd just ask if I can share it. And I thought, it'd be even better if she filmed it and sent it over to us. So I've asked Mary, so we've got this video, it's 2 minutes long, and it's just Mary sharing her story of her time at uni. Thank you.
Hi, High Street, this is Mary. I've been asked to expand on a little testimony I shared at evening service a few weeks ago about my friend at university. We met first year, and we were in the same studio. We didn't get along at first. She was a very typical art student of smoking a lot of weed and being a huge fan of Marx. She seemed very set as an atheist in her ways. So when we moved in together second year with some other art students, they were very interested in the fact that I was an art student and a Christian. What an amazing combo. So it asked me lots of questions, and I'd answer them very inadequately. But it came to third year, and we all lived in different places, mainly because I dropped out of a year abroad quite late. And I wanted to keep an eye on her because she'd go through big ups and big downs and smoke far too much weed for her own good. So I invited her and my housemates from last year to come to student teas that my church puts on, which is free food before service for students. Top quality food, get your nutrition in while you can. And I invited them along, and she came a week I wasn't there with her boyfriend, and then left once food was done, and then came the following week with me, and then stayed for the service after I was very unpushy about staying service. You can go if you want, I'm not pushing you. She stayed and she knitted her way through the whole preach, and had loads of people come and ask about her knitting afterwards. And she told me she loved the sense of community the church had, and it brought her back week after week after week. And then one week I brought my Greek Orthodox housemate along as well, and they had prayer ministry after the worship, and like they do every week, but she had a very down week that week, so I asked if she wanted to go up for prayer, kind of jokingly, not expecting a serious answer. But she stood up straight away and goes, yes, and then walked straight out and went and got prayer, and then came back, and then once the service had finished, she said, how do I let Jesus into my heart? And wide-eyed, I just spurted information at her. I cannot remember for the life of me what I was saying, but I definitely know it wasn't me. Hopefully it was just the Spirit flowing. I got her Bible, and she said she was going to read it that night, but I've talked to her since, and it's only baby steps. I'm not expecting anything huge. But she's still coming back to church. I think she's slowly getting there. She prays, she reads her Bible, and I think it's the beginning of an amazing journey, and hopefully a life imprinted. Bye. Hi, High Street, this is Nick.
Brilliant. Sorry, I muted myself. I know Mary, well, we all know Mary well enough to know that she is someone that lives in the light. And I believe God attracted that girl to him, but used Mary through to help in that situation. And through Mary living in the light, I know she would have lived an example to that person that made that person interested in what she was doing. So we need to guard our hearts, we need to guard our minds. We need to ask what aroma we leave in. We need to be living in the Spirit, not quenching the Spirit. And by doing that, hopefully, it's not as simple as that. We can live as the light for the people around us that don't know Jesus. Ephesians 5:8, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. Sorry, let me read that again. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for the light within you produces only what is good, right, and true. Amen.
Amen.
May we be people that live in the light, and by doing that, live as the light. Shall we stand? Mark, do you guys want to come up and... I think sometimes we're good at... responding in a way that says let's have tea and coffee. I think sometimes it's appropriate to respond in the right way and to digest what we've listened to and what we've heard. And I've just asked Mark if he can play this song for us. I don't think we'll do a ministry time as such, but I just encourage you just to, just as we sing this, almost for us to use this as our almost our reaction to what we've heard, and maybe there might be stuff that God's kind of speaking to you about through the sermon that you just kind of want to kind of talk to God about. Then this is a great time to do it. And if you want prayer for anything, then please come forward, and I'm sure the elders would do that.